Right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. And today it's Layla we've got on the Nutrition Network talking to us today about enzymes, because Layla is from enzyme science. And of course, the middle name of enzyme science is enzymes, as you might have guessed from the title. But, you know, it's so important because obviously, if we can't digest our food, if we can't access the resources we need, then I presume that all the nutrients we're stuffing in our face are absolutely of no value whatsoever. But as I'm going to let Layla do some talking in a minute, because she's obviously much more of an expert than me. But I think people are a bit afraid of enzymes. Is that, do you think they're sort of a bit of secretly afraid of enzymes?
I do. I think enzymes are, you know, simultaneously overrated and underestimated at the same time. So people think that enzymes are very basic things that the body produces, although they're critical to our survival, of course. Absolutely nothing in the body happens without enzymes. And then at the same time, they're very underestimated in that when we're dealing with a client, enzymes are usually the furthest thing from our mind, because there's a lot more exciting stuff happening, you know, in the field of microbiome and blood diagnosis and things like that. So I would say that the criticalness of enzymes is very underestimated. And then when people do get into enzymes, they fear that they're going to hurt somebody, or that they're going to do something bad or injure somebody or something like that. So they're just a mystery, I feel, from the questions we get from practitioners anyway.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, I, as everybody knows, trained in the last century, so I'm probably a tiny bit out of date, but we were sort of taught that if you over prescribe enzymes, you shut down the enzyme production in the body.
Right.
Is that complete rubbish?
It's absolute rubbish. Yes, it is absolute rubbish. And what I like to compare it to is enzyme rich food, right? So if you're eating pineapple, papaya, fermented foods, kimchi, kiwi fruit, if you're eating anything that's enzyme rich, it's not going to stop you from producing your own enzymes. And actually, most of what the modern client will eat will be denaturing their own enzymes and switching off their own enzymes. A lot of people don't know, for example, that raw nuts, the skin of raw nuts, will switch off some of your digestive enzymes. So actually, we're switching off a lot of our digestive enzymes anyway, but supplementing with enzymes will only help you to digest better. And then if there is any form of intestinal inflammation, of course, that which we see a lot of in practice, that will interfere with your body's natural production of enzymes. And I've actually put together, been a bit geeky today, Kay. I've put together a few slides.
Ah, no, good. That's what we want. Yes.
So just to illustrate the point. So should I share it?
Yes, okay. Please. Yeah. Okay. Let's go through a few.
Sorry, I got my geek on this morning. Shall we go straight to your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I might just kind of dip in to ask some questions if inspired to do so.
So you asked the number one question.
This is the number one
question that we get all the time. And basically, your body will, with regard to digestive enzymes specifically, your body will make what it needs whenever it needs. So if you're taking enzymes, your body will just produce less enzymes for that particular meal, because it doesn't need to produce so much. And what that means is there's more energy available for your body. So digestion is a very critical part of our body's processes. So, and that's why some people feel fatigued after they eat, or they feel sleepy. It's because all of the energy is going into digestion. So when you supplement with enzymes, the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen is that you have more energy available for other things, and you'll feel probably less fatigued after eating. It's no different to pumping your body full of raw foods, which are, of course, nature's source of digestive enzymes. So nothing bad is going to switch off or turn off if you use digestive enzymes. And once you get to a certain age, after 35, I would say, everything is less, isn't it? Everything is less, including digestive enzyme production. So I think supplementing with digestive enzymes is one of the healthiest things we can do for our nutrition.
I was going to ask something then. It was,
Go on.
oh yes, just probably you're going to cover it later though, Leila, which was about HCL specifically, and you know, is it a good idea actually while you're at it, over a certain age, obviously 35 being probably the age where HCL production is lower, is it a good idea to just generally take an HCL and enzyme together, or is it just like, oh no, well, steer clear of the HCL?
Yes. So if there is evidences of having difficulty with digesting proteins, so if you notice that after you eat meat or avocado or something that's protein heavy, if you notice that there's heartburn or bloating or tummy troubles, then that points more towards a stomach acid issue rather than an enzyme issue, even though enzymes are involved in the process. The most critical part of that process is your natural stomach acid. Whereas if the foods that are troublesome, bloating, diarrhea, IBS style symptoms, they tend to be more carbohydrates. So for that, I would go more with enzymes. But the two together is a great idea. And if there is an indication for it, there's no harm that's going to come. So you can do a very crude HCL test. So you take a betaine HCL with your meal. And if you feel a burn in the chest, you probably don't need it. If you don't feel a burn in the chest, it's probably helping you, and you'll just have a better digestion as a result of it. Because don't forget, proteins need to be unraveled before they get to the small intestine. And if they're not unraveled by the time they, and they're unraveled by stomach acid. So if they're not unraveled by the time they get to your small intestine, then that's when you get the initial beginnings of inflammation there, which later on might present as IBS or food intolerance or something like that. But the initial irritation may have begun from an incompletely unraveled protein.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So we're at the point where we're not going to damage our own enzyme production if we take,
Correct. So to your point about stomach acid, a lot of people ask, you know, if I take betaine or if I don't take betaine, or if I take a digestive enzyme, will it still work once it's gone through stomach acid? Because, and I think that question comes from the gut microbe conversation, which is, will gut microbes survive long enough to reach the target region? And when you have a fungal derived enzyme, so these are enzymes that are harvested from Aspergillus, which is grown in petri dishes, and they have a really efficient turnover. So fungal source enzymes will regenerate every 2 to 3 hours. So it's a very efficient manufacturing process. They're actually what's called acid stable. So they will activate and deactivate according to their environmental pH level. So we have alkaline saliva, acidic stomach, alkaline small intestine, and then more acidic as we go through to the colon. So fungal derived enzymes, which are vegan enzymes, they're acid stable, so they will not be switched off by stomach acid. The only time we would have a concern about the effect of betaine on enzymes is when the two are together in a capsule, because then you have direct contact, and that's when you can interfere with the effectiveness of an enzyme. Is that okay?
That makes lots of sense. Yes, so here we go. This is obviously a breakdown of where these enzymes are located. Yeah,
precisely. So another question that I get asked a lot is, why do we therablend? So in the enzyme science range, we'll use lots of different enzymes together, and we call that process therablend. And a lot of people say, don't I just need betaine, or don't I just need, you know, this enzyme or that enzyme? Or they may have identified, so certain enzymes have very specific activities. For example, there's a specific gluten digesting enzyme that you can take supplementally. There's a specific dairy digesting enzyme that you can take supplementally. But if you're going to take an all-round digestive support, you want them to have multiple enzymes in them, because if there's any injury or inflammation to the brush border of your small intestine, and you don't have the necessary enzymes to break down each molecule of the carbohydrate that you're eating, then it's going to have an impact on all of these nutrients that are absorbed in this area of the body. And so if you want a good, well-rounded digestive support for your client, then you want an enzyme, you want an enzyme blend that is addressing all of those different things that we need to break down to absorb the necessary nutrients.
Fantastic. So, but you have quite a lot of in your range, don't you? So yes. We'll go through that, will we, as we go through?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Lovely. All right. Fantastic. And notice also, obviously, so it must be a little bit of catch 22 in the sense that if you're not breaking down your food, you can't get hold of the nutrients that you need to produce the enzymes. Is that the scoop?
Correct. So essentially, most of our clients will have a digestive health issue. Or at least most of my clients have a digestive health issue. And what happens is when they come to see me, they're usually on a really good diet, you know, and a lot of people are confused, like, you know, I'm on a really good diet. Why do I have gastrointestinal issues? Why am I bloating? Why do I have gas? Why can't I lose weight? Why am I never satisfied after I eat a meal? And they'll be following a very, very healthy diet. They'll be having something like, you know, organic oats with berries and nuts and fruits for breakfast. They'll have like a cooked lunch, a home cooked dinner, and they're still having a digestive issue. And that's because if you do not have the enzymes to break down the molecules in foods, they will remain there, where they'll be eventually fermented by gut bacteria. They will inflame the intestines, and then we'll get gastrointestinal upset. So a lot of people say, well, then why enzymes for that particular presenting problem? And it's because where there is inflammation, enzyme production will be affected. So when you replace the enzymes, you replace digestive capacity, you reduce the possibility for further inflammation, and all of that process nourishes the microbiome, and then you give the person a break from their symptoms and a chance for their gut to heal. So it's not a standalone intervention. It's not like, oh, give enzymes and problem solved, but it is a really critical part of an intervention, especially if the client has been on any kind of restrictive diet, whether it be low FODMAP, biphasic, elemental. When we put clients on these restrictive diets, we're in a way sensitizing them, because when they come off that diet, we know that relapse is common. And the reason relapse is common is because we haven't solved the missing enzyme issue. We haven't actually helped them. We haven't given them any tools to reintroduce FODMAPs or meat or protein or whatever it is that they've been avoiding. And when we supplement with enzymes, we give them that digestive support, and they're able to expand their diet more successfully.
So do you think that, you know, because in the last, 40 years, where people have got this explosion of food intolerance and allergy, do you think it may be partly an enzyme? I mean, just an enzyme issue, because obviously food has changed, the agriculture has changed, lifestyle has changed. Do you think that if people sort it out, I mean, obviously it's not the whole picture, but it might be that if they sort out the enzyme part, they might actually be just getting to the bottom of the allergy food intolerance problem too.
Yeah. So I would say that 99% of intolerance reactions can be solved with enzyme. Allergy, no, because allergy is when the immune system is reacting to the food. So the immune system doesn't like that food. So we see this with, for example, celiac disease and gluten exposure, which you only need a very tiny amount of gluten exposure to trigger a celiac. And that's a huge problem. But enzymes, so for example, gluten-specific enzymes, there's one called DPP4, for example, which is a specific gluten-digesting enzyme. If you're sensitive to gluten and you're avoiding it, which, by the way, is impossible, it's completely impossible to avoid gluten, supplementing with an enzyme will catch those small molecules and reduce the intolerance reaction. And in the case of allergy, it will reduce the allergic reaction in case of accidental exposure. And when I say accidental exposure, what I mean is I made a sandwich and then I made a salad and somebody who's very sensitive to gluten has been had a micro exposure. So for them, it can reduce it if they want to eat out or something like that. But if it's an intolerance reaction, then the correct enzyme will 99% of the time completely eliminate that intolerance reaction. So for example, lactose intolerance can be mitigated with the lactase enzyme that breaks down lactose. And you can say the same about every other molecule, including FODMAPs. So no, understanding this enzyme breaks down this molecule, once the molecule is broken down, so let's say it's a lactose molecule, it's no longer lactose, so it can't generate the intolerance reaction. So I would say it's 99% of the time an enzyme issue.
Wow, well, that's interesting. And you mentioned weight gain. Is there a specific enzyme combo for that, or is it just enzymes generally?
Well, it depends what the root of the weight gain is. But for example, if you have clients that are perimenopausal, menopausal, or they have those sugar craving PMS type symptoms, that points to a problem with digesting lipids. So they're having an issue with either their gallbladder, pancreas, they're not able to sufficiently break down and absorb lipids. So what the body does is it triggers sugar cravings so that it can synthesize lipids. And why does it need lipids? It needs lipids to make hormones. So it's all about understanding where the weight gain is coming from. Is it a pancreatic issue? Is it a lipid issue? Is it appetite? Is it ghrelin? Is it some other hormone? But wherever there is a hormonal imbalance, that points to an issue with lipids. So either the client is not consuming enough fats in their diet, or they're avoiding fat, or they've been on a low fat diet, or they're not absorbing lipids effectively, which points to an enzyme called lipase and also beta and HCL. So it's just about untangling all of that. And it's not rocket science. It really is about this enzyme does this, and this molecule that we're focusing on today is responsible for all of these things.
So for postmenopausal women, I don't know any actually, but if I did know any postmenopausal women, what would be the root cause of that? Because, you know, obviously, I mean, actually, I've been pretty lucky, but there are people who put on a bit of weight, either pack on the weight after the menopause,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah. I would attribute it to insulin. So what I do with my postmenopausal ladies who are gaining weight rapidly is I put them on a meal plan that regulates their blood sugar throughout the day. And then I give all of them a lipase enzyme, all of 100% of them, because then they're more satisfied for longer. And usually they start shedding weight pretty quickly after that. There's something called metabolic balance. You've probably heard about metabolic balance. I find it very, very, very effective for all forms of weight loss, but particularly postmenopausal weight loss, where weight loss feels impossible.
Right. Yes. Okay. Good admin. All right. Well, listen, let's... I'm detaining you from your interesting presentation. So whenever you're ready, we'll just move on.
Yeah. So systemic use of enzymes. So there was a little bit of an academic argument some years ago about whether or not enzymes ever make it through the intestinal border and into the system, because enzymes are quite large molecules. But actually, if you Google or go on PubMed and look at the research on enzymes, there's a lot of systemic use of enzymes. We're all very familiar with bromelain and the anti-inflammatory effects of bromelain, for example. And bromelain is an enzyme from pineapple. And the class of enzymes it belongs to is called a protease enzyme, which is a protein breaking enzyme. And don't forget, inflammatory molecules are proteins. Immune system is made of proteins. Everything is made of proteins, pretty much. And so we can use enzymes specifically. So now that we're in a post-COVID arena, and now we're seeing a lot of inflammatory, I'm seeing an explosion in inflammatory conditions. I'm seeing a new type of client in the post-COVID environment, new types of client that are having arthritic symptoms, thyroid symptoms, all sorts of different manifestations of systemic inflammation. And this is where enzymes are really critical, because if you use enzymes, particularly protease enzymes, on an empty stomach, you can clear a lot of inflammation without interfering with any medications and things like that. And you can also use enzymes to break down growths, intestinal growths, growths like candida, SIBO, any kind of intestinal growth can be successfully addressed with the use of enzymes, because enzymes are the one thing that they can't develop a resistance to, because enzymes don't attack candida growths and SIBO bacteria. They break them down entirely and they can't develop a resistance to them.
You still there? Yes.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
still here.
waiting for me to jump in. No, it's very interesting.
So I do speak to a lot of practitioners who are seeing a lot of systemic issues or infection related issues, inflammatory issues. And I always recommend that they choose one of our potent protease formulations, because proteases will address bacteria. They will break down the cell wall of the hyphal form of candida. So yeast is harmless, but the hyphal form of candida is a lot more aggressive. And when you combine your program, be it low sugar, be it elemental, like whatever the program is that you're using with your client to alleviate that intestinal infection, just know for the whole entire time that if you add an enzyme, you increase the vulnerability of that thing. So whether that thing be inflammation in general, enzymes can help to clear that, reduce swelling, reduce mucus, reduce in all parts of the body, be it shoulder, lungs, ovaries, thyroid, wherever the inflammation is. And if the thing that you're trying to do is kill a fungus or a bacteria, then enzymes can increase its susceptibility to anything that you're using, such as antifungals and so on.
So it's a sort of enhancement strategy. So it might not be the thing on its own, is that what you're saying? But it'll boost. It's like a boost.
What it does is it degrades the wall. So whether that so let's take, for example, Candida. Let's say Candida is enveloped in a biofilm. Biofilm, Candida, bacteria, these are all structures that are made of, so this is, for example, what we're looking at here is the structure of a candida cell. And it's made of mannoprotein, beta glucans, chitin, and then it has the membrane. So when you use an enzyme, what you do is you dissolve this outer layer, which means that any antifungals you're using, let's say, for example, caprylic acid or something like that, any antifungal you're using can get into the vulnerable part and kill it. So what it does is like it's kind of like mowing the lawn. It's like if you imagine the grass growing and there's weeds everywhere, if you want to get to the soil and if you want to kill those weeds, you can use a weed killer. But if you mow the grass first, you have much better access to the root of the weed. And so that's what enzymes do. They kind of mow away the defense mechanisms of the bacteria or the fungi and make it more susceptible to the antifungal or the antibacterial that you're using. And away from bacteria and fungus, if what you're addressing is inflammation, then enzymes like serrapeptase, bromelain, they're very, very effective anti-inflammatories, because they specifically address the consequences of inflammation and they touch nothing else in the body. So that's
Yeah, I
why they're
was going
so
to
good.
say that, so it doesn't start dissolving you.
No. So enzymes break down anything that is dead, decaying, or does not belong. So they will never, I mean, if they digested you, then everyone would be dead as soon as they took their first enzyme. Everyone would have
Exactly. That's what I'm worried
ulcers
about, you
galore.
see. No, but
No.
that's a sort of one of those myths, isn't it, which says,
Yeah.
gosh, if I overdo this, am I actually dissolving myself somehow? But
No,
you
no.
say, okay, that's cleared that myth up then.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Actually, Candida, so Hyphal Candida produces its own enzymes that do penetrate the barrier, but supplemental enzymes would kill you in an instant if they dissolved any part of your esophagus or your stomach or your intestines or anything like that. So no, that's just, we would never put such enzymes into a formula. You'll get those kinds of enzymes in like kind of industrial applications, you know, washing powder is enzymes, stain remover is enzymes. A lot of facial beauty products use enzymes to break down scars, lesions, things like that. But you would never put them in a supplement for human consumption.
No. Okay, good. We cleared that one up.
Yeah. So this is my last slide, Kate. So I just wanted to share with everybody that the company generally is a very ethical company. It's a zero waste company, uses only renewable energy. Everything is from a vegan or vegetarian source. And if somebody is interested in understanding more about how to choose enzymes and how to match them, I just want to reiterate that it's very, very simple, very, very easy. So when you look into the research on enzymes, a lot of it is about what kind of bonds they break down and what the molecular structure of things are. And it can feel a bit overwhelming and complicated. But really, all you need to know is these enzymes break down these molecules, and that's all you need to know. And then you're able to successfully use enzymes as part of your practice, and you are going to see faster, better results with clients. And if people do want access to that kind of education or they have any questions, this is the website and this is my email address, and I'm happy to chat to anybody about anything to do with enzymes.
Fabulous. So just talk us through a few of your sort of like, so if people are looking for a general, you know, support, what would they go for in terms of your range?
Yeah, so let me see if I can find another. So here is an example of some of our products, which is from a presentation that I am presenting this evening. Oh no, we've lost it.
No, it was there.
Was it there?
Oh yeah, okay. So I can see. Yeah, it's going. Yes. So yeah, yes, popular digestive support. There we go. So the Optimize is mm-hmm. for the, for what you were talking about, for the postmenopausal ladies.
Just hormones in general. Just hormones in general. Yeah. So some of my clients have PCOS, they have fertility issues, missing periods, perimenopause, postmenopause, and I put 100% of them on LipoOptimize because I know that they need effective lipid metabolism for healthy hormones, healthy nerve endings, healthy cell signaling, things like that. And I, where there is a hormonal imbalance and a high degree of stress, poor sleep, I always go for LipoOptimize, and it really, really, really enhances the effectiveness of everything else that I'm doing.
So would that be taken at a meal, between meals? When would you?
With meals. Mm-hmm. And then if there is intestinal inflammation we get, or with gram-negative bacteria, we get the production of lipopolysaccharides, you know, the extremely toxic byproduct of bacteria, bad bacteria. And lipopolysaccharide is a lipid-based molecule which can be broken down by lipase. So where I suspect intestinal inflammation, I tell them to take LipoOptimize with meals and also on an empty stomach at nighttime, just to break down the LPS.
Fantastic. And you mentioned about sort of people who are under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. So talk me through that mechanism.
Yeah, so it's about the it boils back down to hormones again. So we have, you know, cholesterol, which goes to pregnenolone, and then from there it goes down into cortisol, estrogen, so on and so forth. So in that chain, where the person is producing a lot of cortisol, it's going to negatively impact all the rest of their hormones. So I know that there'll be a hormonal imbalance, and so I will give them lipo-optimized to support them with hormone synthesis and usage. And it just generally, and also our nerve cells, our nervous system is wrapped in a lipid bilayer, and it's just nourishment for that. So, and often if you look into their diet, they're not really consuming much fat. So I say to people, you know, tell me about your meals, especially these the hormonal people, as the hormonal people, I'll call them, very crude categorization of them, but they tend to be living on a juice. You know, what did you have for breakfast? I had a juice. What did you have for lunch? I had a soup. What did you have for dinner? Oh, I had a casserole of some kind. And so they have very little amount of healthy fats in their diet anyway. So I want them to maximize that to be able to relax, calm down, and regulate their hormones.
Fantastic. So critical digestion sounds like just a basic, your basic, what do you call it, sort of general formula. Is that correct?
Yeah. So this is a very all around formula, which will basically help you digest most foods that are responsible for any form of bloating or gastrointestinal upset. So we have, you know, amylase for your carbohydrates, protease for your proteins, DPP-4 there for gluten, lipase for the fats, alpha-galactosidase specific for FODMAPs, pectinase, components of plants, cellulase, lactase for lactose, beta-glucanase, xylase. These are all different parts of plants and carbohydrates, xylanase, maltase, invertase, and hemicellulase. And then we also have probiotics in there that have been evidenced to alleviate things like gas, bloating, diarrhea, things like that, because there's almost certainly going to be some gut bacterial imbalance if somebody's having difficulty digesting.
Right. So, and then intolerance complex, you wouldn't, would you need to take both, or would you just need to take one?
No. So most of our enzyme formulas have exactly the same enzymes in them, but they're just the quantities are changed to address the need. So if you compare the intolerance complex ingredients to the critical digestion, you'll see a lot of the same enzymes, but in different quantities. So in critical digestion, if you look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth one down, DPP-4, which is the gluten digesting enzyme. In the intolerance complex, there's a lot more of it than there is in the critical digestion, because a person who is intolerant to one molecule is likely to be intolerant to another molecule. So we have a lot more of the intolerance food specific molecules in the intolerance complex as compared to the critical digestion, which is just digestive, really good digestive support.
Fantastic. So any other favorites? Or, you know, the other thing we did talk about a while back was people with, I was talking through a client, I suppose, who's got a lung problem after taking some various medication, which we will be nameless in this call. But anyway, so unfortunately developed breathing problems from that treatment. What did you recommend, and tell me why?
Serrapeptase. So I recommended serrapeptase and bromelain, which are the protease enzymes. And I recommended serrapeptase because serrapeptase will break down scar tissue. It will break down anything that is restricting the lungs from expanding. There's a heap of research on the benefits of serrapeptase in conditions like asthma, COPD, because it's what's called a fibrinolytic enzyme. So wherever there's inflammation, there is residual scar tissue. It might not be super tight scar tissue, but it's scar tissue nonetheless. And so it affects expansion, dilation, blood supply to the area. So wherever there is a post-inflammatory remaining symptom, I would attribute that to scar tissue, some form of scarring or some sort. It's like a scab, like whatever a scab is on the outside, we have similar mechanisms on the inside. And what serrapeptase does is it just dissolves all of that, converts it all into water, through to the bloodstream and out of the body. And I have three clients that have a post-illness
Although it's just like, what kind of
breathing
illness can we
difficulty,
talk about here?
breathing difficulty,
Yes.
and with protease enzymes, of which serrapeptase is a really good one, natokinase is a really good one, bromelain is a really good one. They've had on an empty stomach so that it can reach your system, because if you take it with meals, it will just digest your meals. It's expanded their chest, and they've been able to go uphill again, and they're finding that their endurance is increasing over time. So I would give it like 3 months, but they should feel an impact pretty much pretty soon. I would say within about a week or two, they'll be able to feel the expansion coming back. So
So what's the dose for that?
I would start super small. So with enzymes like serrapeptase and natokinase, what they do is they break down biofilms. So if the person has a biofilm enveloped virus or biofilm enveloped bacteria in their body, by breaking down that biofilm, you release its contents, and the immune system has to deal with that and clear it away. So if you move too fast, you can induce a kind of a healing crisis. You can induce a negative reaction. So I would be very, very gentle, something like 2 capsules twice a day to begin with, and then go up according to their tolerance level. And the work that there's really nothing, there's really no negative consequence that can happen other than this kind of Herx reaction, where you've disturbed something that you didn't know was there.
So, so the natokinase and serrapeptase is that does that come in one formula or there's two different formulas?
There's two different. So we have the I think it's called, I've got one, Serrapeptase Pro. That's the serrapeptase. And then we have natokinase, which is completely separate. And the reason that they're separate is because they do slightly different things. So natokinase has an ability, an affinity for cardiovascular health. So it's really good at dilating blood vessels and bringing down high cholesterol and things like that. Whereas serrapeptase breaks down scar tissue. So what it will do is it will expand veins, clear away any scar tissue, any inflammation, any micro clotting, things like that. It will clear it away. And there may be instances where you don't want to break down clots. So for example, if somebody's post-operative and they've got stitches holding something in place, you probably don't want to break those down. So you have the option as a practitioner to use one, the other, or both together.
Fantastic. So just before you go, just if you of which I'm putting you a bit on the spot with here, but if there's a sort of case history recently that you've dealt with that you might want to just talk us through what you did. I mean,
Yeah,
you know,
so
it can be a
my
combo, you know, of.
yeah, so my war meat guy. So I he's my most interesting client, because he's very fit, very healthy. He's in his early 50s. He works out 5 times a week at the gym. He's incredibly professionally successful, and he eats only raw meat. So he calls it the carnivore diet. And if he eats something that isn't raw meat, he gets really bad gastrointestinal symptoms. He also had COVID, and he also has a history of asthma. And after COVID, he was not able to exercise in the way that he did. So he
So
said he
how
felt
long's he
better.
been on the raw meat diet? I mean, I wouldn't like to be
About
his.
5 years. About
Really?
5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Raw eggs, raw meat, just everything raw, basically. So he will go to a
Is.
butcher, buy liver, come home, open it, and eat it. Yeah.
Oh God. I mean, you
Yeah.
know, I'm sorry, but I mean, I love. I mean, I do eat meat, but it's just like, oh my God, raw. I mean, you
Yeah.
know, I suppose that's what cave people must have done before they
Yeah.
discovered fire. I mean, the fact
Yeah.
is that that's how we progressed, is
Yes.
discovering fire. So
Yeah.
poor old thing though, but so he's not willing to change his diet. Would you
Well,
say that the diet is
he kind of
helping or
has to.
hindering?
Well, it
Yeah.
kind of he has to change his diet, because how will he socialize? How will he go out for meals, lunches? It's really, it's although it alleviated his symptoms, it's really restricted his ability to socialize and go out. And
But
so when he
5 years
could.
ago, what symptoms did he have that because there was this big thing about Di Saladino, the diet, which was the carnivore diet, which is probably still going. I mean, can you imagine having a carnivore diet by somebody called di Saladino, which is basically salad in Italian. I mean, you know, what are the chances?
What are the chances? Yeah.
And I know that Zoe Carcombe, I'm interviewing on Friday. She's I think she does cook meat, but she's a big carnivore as well, which would be interesting to follow. But so he went on the diet for what reason initially? Sorry, I'm fascinated by this bloke.
He had a psoriasis.
Right.
Really severe psoriasis and really severe gastrointestinal issues. So he toured all the world from practitioner to practitioner, so many of our clients do, and he went on the carnivore diet and he experienced improvements to all of his symptoms, although not a complete resolution. And then he became stuck on it. So what happened was, which is completely predictable, he's more sensitive to non-meat foods now than he's ever been before in his life. So what happened was he went, I think, to the pub with some of his colleagues. He had chips or something like that. And he really, really suffered afterwards. So that's how he ended up. He was referred to.
So what was the original problem, do you think, if you could guess?
I think he had SIBO. I think he had SIBO because he was primarily reacting to carbohydrates and fermentable foods. So I think he had some kind of bug or some kind of intestinal infection, because if the carnivore diet helped, that's a non-fermentable diet. So what he's done essentially is a version of, because an elemental diet would be elemental plus meat if you wanted to. So what he's done is he's removed fermentable foods from his diet. He's experienced a positive impact of that. He's made his digestive system lazy. So his digestive system has not had to deal with any molecules for a very long time. And now when he's trying to introduce them, he's having this very severe reaction, which does happen. And that's why we work with an allergy doctor. And the allergy doctor said her advice was that we should not completely eliminate things if possible. So if the allergic reaction is not severe, it's not anaphylactic, then micro exposures is actually a good thing, because a person could build tolerance over time.
I think we all know that the client who's come to you with, they've done on by themselves, you know, especially with Candida, they've done an exclusion diet, and then of course they're down to eating just white rice or something, nothing. You know, they're unable to eat anything.
And I would say,
what an interesting guy. So tell me, what did you do with this?
So I gave him enzymes, basically. So I said, so I said, you know, but so we did a breath test. He did have an amount, a very low amount of SIBO. So his breath gas was just slightly above 20.
He's been suppressing that anyway, from the diet, isn't he?
And also hydrogen could be indicative of having difficulty digesting something anyway, so it could be picking up lactose intolerance, because he started to drink raw milk. So it was a new thing that he had introduced, was raw milk. So we started on enzymes, and I basically kind of titrated him up with his foods. So we're like, okay, we're going to try this with an enzyme, we're going to try that with an enzyme, we're going to try, you know, we tried loads of things with an enzyme, and what we found was that there were certain foods that he could eat if he had his enzymes, and there's other foods that, you know, he possibly won't be able to eat for a while yet. But nevertheless, he was just overjoyed that he was able to go out and eat without fear of a reaction. So it took some time to get there. I mean, we were working to on that part of the process, it was about 6 weeks. And the reason for that was a lot to do with his fears around it and his tentativeness about trying things and being scared of a reaction and things like that. But now he's able to eat, you know, cooked vegetables. So he can eat cooked vegetables now. There's a few raw things that he can't eat. So like raw cherry tomatoes is a problem, for example. And then he asked me about the breathing. So he said that he'd had COVID 6 months prior, and even though he'd gotten over COVID, he wasn't able to exercise to the same level that he was before. He felt himself getting out of breath very quickly. And then I put him on the serrapeptase and bromelain on an empty stomach, and he messaged me. So he's very extreme in all that he does. You know, he works extreme, he exercises extreme. So when I told him to start with two capsules and build up, he straight away started taking four, three times a day.
I've had that with funnily enough, with HCL, which said, you know, if you have an HCL, if you have any burning, you are to stop this immediately. And he just, this particular client just literally took it as a sign of kind of, you know, macho-ness.
It's good. If it hurts, it's good.
Bloody hell.
He took it to the extreme straight away. And he WhatsApped me about 3 days later and he said, you know, is it possible to feel a benefit 3 days in? And I said, yes, everything is possible. And he was like, because I can feel it. So I don't know how much he's taking now or with what frequency, but he felt a very fast improvement in his lung capacity.
But once that's cleared, in effect, theoretically, it should be cleared. I mean, it's not yet. So he doesn't, presumably he can come down the other side of not having to take the enzyme. Does the bromelain and the serrapeptase come together or separately?
Yes. So when we in our supplement facts panel, wherever it says protease therablend, that means that's multiple proteases mixed together, of which bromelain is one of them. So anything that is a protease therablended in our range has multiple protease enzymes, including serrapeptase and including bromelain. But we don't have a separate bromelain product. We do have a separate serrapeptase. So you can just combine the two, which is what I do.
Wow, what an interesting case history that was. I mean, that's
most of my clients have got impossible digestive problems. So I have another, I call her the hula hoops lady, because she had gastrointestinal injury from bowel cancer. So she had a lot of radiation damage to her bowels. And if she ate anything that wasn't hula hoops, ready salted hula hoops, she would have massive bleeding when she went to the bathroom.
What? How come the hula hoops were just sort of just pap food, really? I mean, it's just lucky she tried the hula hoops.
She was, when she came to see me, she was really scared. She was severely underweight, you know, really worried, very scared of bleeding episodes, absolutely terrified of food. So I put her in touch with a person that I know that specializes in all things cancer, so pre, during and post. And I helped her with the digestive stuff, and I had the guidance of an extremely experienced colleague in her case, who helped her with all of the cancer-specific, cancer-related things. Because one thing she had, for example, you know, when we're doing gut repair, we use a lot of glutamine, don't we? We love glutamine. Whereas if that's a contraindication for things like bowel cancer. So everything that I knew to do went through the cancer person just to make sure that it was completely safe. And what I learned in that process is that there is very few elemental formulas that don't have glutamine in them. So we were really limited in what we could do. But now she will not go any, so she can eat a lot more things. So she's moved on to soups, stews, still got a bit of phobia around raw foods and things like that, but with enzymes she feels the benefit. So she can eat soups and stews without enzymes, but she feeds back to me that she prefers to eat them with enzymes because she just feels that it's a safer bowel movement for her, much more comfortable.
So what
bowel movement for
what
her.
Is she, you what did you put her on generally?
Critical digestion. So she's on critical digestion because she doesn't have anything that can be defined as an intolerance or an allergy. It's just critical that what she eats is digested before it goes any further. It's absolutely critical for her. So this helps that process. So with the stewing and the soups and the blends, it's already pretty well broken down anyway. But any molecule that's hanging around in there that can cause even the slightest bit of inflammation will be an absolute disaster for her. So she's on critical digestion always and probably will be forever.
What interesting patients you have that come to you. So so are there any last thoughts or about enzymes and we shouldn't be scared of enzymes?
No, don't be scared of enzymes. And definitely so I learned about it. So my first interaction with enzymes was in biomed. So in biomed, it's all very technical information and you're kind of learning about molecules and things like this, and it's not really the exciting part. And then when you go through your studies and you get to therapeutics, then you get really interested and you might run off and learn everything about hormones or everything about the microbiome and so on and so forth. And we forget that really critical biomed module, which was all about the importance of enzymes. And what I do at Enzyme Science is I basically rehash that information. And a lot of practitioners have a eureka moment. They have a eureka moment where I've made a really good nutrition plan for this person. It's absolutely essential for them to feel a benefit, and for them to feel a benefit quickly, they need to be absorbing it. But if they're seeing you in the first place, they have an absorption issue. I mean, guaranteed, if you have any kind of imbalance in your body, you likely have an absorption issue. And by adding enzymes to your routine, you just increase the first thing that happens is you increase nutrient absorption, and that can only be a good thing. So I would encourage everybody to, register on our website, watch the videos, read the information, and you won't, once you've started using them, you'll never go back. Like if it's like probiotics, like you'll never ever go back.
Well, I think it's very interesting, as you say, because I think what we like to do as practitioners is get onto the fat, some kind of fancy footwork of supplementation without actually addressing some of these basic things. Sometimes, it's interesting, isn't it, that some of the most simple things are the best things to do, whether that's diet, lifestyle, enzymes, you know what I mean? It's just get these some of these very
Yeah,
basic things in. Then you
it's
actually don't need to
also
do so much, actually.
exactly, and it's also instant. So a lot of what we do in practice takes time to have the effect that we're looking for. Whereas if somebody has a gastrointestinal problem, they feel the benefit with the first meal they eat with enzymes. So the first ever meal they eat with enzyme supplementation, they will contact you and they will say, "Oh my God, I feel better." And that gives the client confidence. And when the client has confidence and a quick, I call it a quick win, because you need those quick wins with clients because they're miserable, they've been suffering, you've probably told them to give up some things that they really attach to. And if they can just feel that quick, fast impact and go, "Oh my God, this person is helping me already," then you're after that, they'll do anything you say. They're very, very compliant thereafter. And then your program has a chance to take effect. The probiotics have a chance, the nutrients have a chance, the diet has a chance, so that's another quick and easy win in terms of seeing things through the lens of a practitioner, is that you can make your client feel better very quickly, can alleviate gas very quickly, intolerance very quickly, and then they're converted after that. And the first thing that happened to me when I started using enzymes, or literally all I did was start giving people enzymes with every formula, every herbal formula, and I just started getting referrals. And at one point I was like utterly bombarded with them, because most of my clients have digestive problems, and they, even though the digestive problem hasn't gone away with the addition of the enzyme, they feel better, they feel less tired, less bloated, they're going to the bathroom a little bit easier, and they know when something's working and something's not working, and it's just a quick win with them.
Fantastic. Well, again, so the website is
The website
and
is, yep, here we go. And we also have, oh yeah, we also have an enzyme deficiency test pack for practitioners. So if they're not
oh.
sure where to go, we have a questionnaire and a guide. All of our products have spec sheets. So if you're looking for something specific for FODMAPs or dairy or gluten or whatever it is, we've got all the resources there for you.
Fantastic. Well, that enzyme deficiency test guide sounds, what people can start with. But in any
We have a
case,
good test guide, don't we?
we love a good test guide. It's like, oh, we feel like we're doing our job then. But in any case, it's quite simple from what I understand, in many
Yeah.
ways. Don't get bogged down and
Correct.
I think just suck it and see,
Yeah, have
with
a go.
patience and and have a go. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Well, so that having been said, it's www.enzymescience.co.uk, and you can get a hold of Layla and we can have a jolly night. nice chat because she's lovely as well. So
Thank
there you
you,
go.
Kate.
So with that having been said, thank you very much, everybody. And
Thank you.
See you next time on
Take care.
The Nutrition
Bye.
Network. Woo! Bye.